Welcome to the Far and Beyond podcast, hosted by the Contracts and Fiscal Law Department at the Judge Advocate General's Legal Center and School. This podcast is for federal government attorneys navigating the complex intersection of acquisitions and fiscal law and policy. I am your host, Major Ellie Sewell.
And I'm Matthew Firing.
And I'm Major Ed Callahan. Together, we are your co-hosts. Today, we're going to take a look back and peel back some of the layers of federal fiscal control. Remember, as a baseline, when Congress appropriates money, it doesn't just hand over a blank check. They put rules governing how and when that money can be spent. During a shutdown like we're going through now, it can be particularly confusing. So we brought in the chair of the Contract and Fiscal Law Department, Lieutenant Colonel Matt Firing, to help us understand some of these rules. Sir, thanks for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
All right, sir, let's talk about this government shutdown.
Okay. So we all remember the basic tenets of fiscal law, right? We learned about purpose, time, and amount. And most importantly, the teeth behind appropriations law, right? Which is the Anti-Deficiency Act. And the Anti-Deficiency Act, or the ADA, prohibits officials from obligating or spending money in excess or in advance of an appropriations. So when we do not have appropriations, or when we have a lapse in appropriations, or what is colloquially referred to as a government shutdown, we have no appropriations. Hence the dilemma of a shutdown and the Anti-Deficiency Act.
So, and our paychecks come from those appropriations. So if there's no appropriation, no paycheck.
So, sir, with that being the case, help me understand how us showing up to work every day, and you make me keep showing up to work, so I'm here. How is that not a violation of the ADA?
Well, great point, Ed. And first and foremost, you are absolutely essential to our mission. So I take all of your work very seriously. But no, seriously, with respect to a lapse in appropriations and service members coming into work, let's talk about this, right? We talked about how agencies cannot obligate in excess or in advance of an appropriation. So when there's a lapse in appropriation, the default rule would be we cannot obligate in advance or in excess. People cannot come into work. But there's exceptions to this Anti-Deficiency Act or ADA prohibition. For example, agencies can obligate in advance or in excess when property or life is imminently threatened. Think about your air traffic controllers, right? That's something that you always see in the headlines. Or agencies can obligate in order to fulfill constitutional functions. A case in point would be the Department of Justice can continue to resume activities related to criminal trials because there's a constitutional right to a speedy trial. So once again, DOJ is obligating in advance or in excess of the appropriation under those exceptions.
So it's more like a partial government shutdown, like in theory.
Yeah, I think that's probably a better way to characterize a government shutdown. It is currently in the Office of Legal Counsel in the 1980s. That's the way that they want agencies to operate under a government shutdown, is under the plethora of these exceptions, right? And the executive will continue to incur obligations during a lapse in appropriations as long as those obligations are tied to one of those particular exceptions that the Office of Legal Counsel has identified for us. Despite this, though, one thing, though, that is clear, even though that there are exceptions to obligations, payments are a whole different story. Payments, another way that they're characterized, are outlays or disbursements. Those are not happening, regardless of whether or not the agencies are incurring obligation. Think about Fiscal Law 101. No money shall be drawn from the Treasury but in consequence of an appropriation, right? That's a constitutional framework of fiscal law. So literally, even though the agency can incur obligations or legal liabilities during a lapse in appropriations, no actual payments will occur unless Congress provides those appropriations.
Sure. And that's an important distinction that we should all keep in mind, obligations versus disbursements. And I've been in long enough, sir, as I know you have, to have been through a few of these shutdowns. But this is the first one that I ever actually received a payment. And that seems to fly in the face of what we were just talking about as a basic tenet. So can you help us understand how service members got paid? And by the way, I'm not complaining. I don't want to give the money back. My wife has already spent it. So I'm curious, how did we get that money coming in on the 15th and 31st of this month during this lapse in appropriations?
This year's government shutdown, a little bit more unique, right? Historically, what has happened is there was bipartisan support by which Congress would pass essentially what would be a line item appropriation. Think of, and I think this happened in the perhaps like about a decade or two ago, there was a Pay Our Military Act, right? So during a government shutdown, Congress could agree on, hey, I got it. There's a government shutdown. We cannot provide appropriations for all the agencies, but we can agree on we want to pay the troops. So they gave a line item appropriation just to pay the troops during the lapse in appropriations. This year is a little bit more unique. There was no specific line item appropriation for the service members. So military pay is contingent on appropriations, and our pay is definitely impacted by a lapse in appropriations. That pay comes from the military personnel appropriations, and it's by service, right? So Army, Navy, Air Force, they each have a separate appropriation called military personnel. And that has a one-year period of availability, right? So it's available for obligation 1 October, expires on 30 September of the fiscal year. Our pay lapsed on 1 October of 2025. So recognizing this and the fact that service members were going to go without pay during this lapse in appropriations, President Trump took the decisive action and directed Secretary of War to use all available funds to get the troops paid.
So how did the Secretary of War do this?
Okay, and the Department of War leveraged unobligated balances of research, development, technology, and experimentation funds. And those are funds that have a two-year period of availability, right? So the military personnel only has a one-year. These funds have a two-year period of availability in order to pay service members.
Okay, sir, but I actually teach the purpose block, which I know you've sat in the back and were just absolutely enthralled by. So these are different pots of money. One of the first things I tell the students is that you can't mix these pots of money, right? Ties back to the ADA. So how are we paying what is usually paid with MILPER with RDT&E?
This is a great question, and this is where the creativity of the current administration really came into play here, right? So practically every year, Congress grants the Department of War, and this is in the Appropriations Act, authority to move funds, appropriations, from one pot, from one appropriation, to another appropriation. And the most recent full appropriations bill or omnibus bill that we received permitted up to $8 billion of this transfer authority. And that's what it's referred to as, a transfer authority. So when those funds are transferred to their new account, they take on the identity of the accounts in which they went into. At least that's what Congress authorized.
All right, that's interesting. So one thing I do want to be clear for all of my students who are listening to this, which I make them, so they all listen to this on a very regular basis, is that this is a decision that's made up by the head of the agency, the Secretary of War. So the lessons that we're teaching them are still valid. At any level that we're advising a command, do not mix pots of money. Purpose matters. This is an exception to that, that the head of the agency, the Secretary of War, can move this through the appropriations NDAA that comes out every year. I'm tracking everything correctly?
That's exactly right, right? So what you'll hear this referred to as is the Department of War's general transfer authority, right? So there is actually permanent authority in statute that allows agencies to conduct transfers. This transfer authority that was leveraged is general transfer authority given to the Department of War. And really, if you think about it, the purpose of it is, remember, Congress is passing an appropriations bill. They're going through the budget cycle. Ideally, that's happening on 1 October. Congress is recognizing that priorities and emergencies will change within the Department of War. Given that, they've permitted the Department of War that flexibility to adjust their priorities and move money from one particular appropriation to another in recognition of, hey, we understand it's 1 October. Come March timeframe, priorities might change. You might need more money in another particular account.
And that makes sense. And that's not special to this shutdown. That's something that's been, like you said, in statute. So an authority that the SecWar has had for a while. So that covers, I believe, what we're talking about, our mid-month pay on October 15th. That was paid through RDT&E.
Correct, right? So the RDT&E monies moved from RDT&E, right, two-year period of availability, and it moved into a military personnel appropriations, so that money can probably be used for military pay. So the second round of pay was a little bit different. And for the second round on 31 October, service members received their pay from some of that unexpired RDT&E that we spoke about. That was the mid-month. Some unexpired procurement appropriations and some unexpired funds from that one big beautiful bill that was passed earlier this year.
So have we ever used this transfer authority before? Has this happened where we've had to move this amount of money around?
Absolutely. For example, I could just think of under the first President Trump administration, transfers were made from unexpired military construction accounts to counter drug narcotic appropriations to help fund that border barrier wall at the southern border. If you recall, that was a point of contention during that funding lapse in the 2018-19 timeframe. I think that was 2019. And even upon request, the Government Accountability Office, they actually reviewed that transfer and the executive branch's use of that transfer authority, and they found it was absolutely legally permissible in accordance with the law.
And so because Congress has granted this authority to the president, it really isn't running afoul of like the ICA or ADA.
Yeah, I mean, I don't see any problems with it. GAO has not been asked to write author an opinion on this, but currently, this seems to be authority that Congress granted to the executive branch to do with appropriated funds.
Sir, we really appreciate you taking the time to come down and talk to us. I know I've been fielding questions during this whole shutdown or lapse of appropriations and all sorts of things, but as paychecks started coming in and then toward the end of the month, we were getting this question quite a bit. So we wanted to call in the expert, have you explain it to us. We really appreciate you taking the time.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Thank you for joining us today in this episode of The Far and Beyond. Please make sure to follow us and subscribe on your favorite podcast platforms.
We love to hear from our listeners. Like I just mentioned, we get these questions coming through and we try and get out special podcast issues to take care of some of the hot topics that are out there. So please continue to reach out to us on Facebook and LinkedIn. The information can be found in the show notes for today's episode.
The views expressed today are those of the presenters, not that of the Judge Advocate General Corps, the Department of the Army, Department of the Air Force, or the Department of War.